One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Sarah McConnell, Seamus O'Moraine, Jeff Miller, Duncan Watson, MJ Stokesish, Mara Hopper, Katleya, Melina Lilich, Ariana Emery, Roxy Arnold. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to another episode of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast.
Yes,
show.
That is what we're called. Well
yeah.
done.
You remember the name, so proud.
I know, okay. I am your host, Lydia Nicholas, and with me today I have
Helen Gould,
Alex Newell,
Bryn Monroe.
Yay! we've had a like power shift.
We've done a coup.
We did a coup.
The ladies are in charge now.
The glorious feminist revolution.
We did a coup.
Bring down the matriarchy.
Yeah.
No.
And yeah, so I'm in charge, which is fine. No.
She's really excited about it, can you tell?
No people have been harmed so far in the making of this production. Yeah, we are doing a special episode, and so we are using a different system. Woo!
Yeah!
Woo! This week, we will be using the Broken World system, which is the gaming system created by the artist behind the Kill 6 Billion Demons comic, Abaddon, or Tom Parkinson Morgan. Hi, Tom! I'm a big fan! This is awkward! So I absolutely am a massive fan of the comic to a ridiculous degree. As a patron reward a while ago, he created a gaming system and I have been desperate to try it out. Now, one thing that I should point out right at the beginning is that this gaming system is really not designed for this kind of game. It is designed with the idea of a massive, long-running plot with huge intrigues and power games and big risks made. And it has whole rules about training and resting and haggling at the marketplace, the sorts of things that really make a really interesting campaign over the long term. But we have like 3 hours.
Let's Woo! Break it. Yeah, Yay! Let's break other people's toys.
So I have literally chopped out a bunch of particular moves and some of the guys have been like, on my character sheet, it says I can do it. No querying the universe. No.
It's a good rule.
That is the correct way to
GM. It is a good rule. Yeah. You're doing well. I like it.
So we've thinned out a bit. And we've got some amazing characters to play with. The system is powered by the apocalypse, so the main mechanics are just that you roll 2d6s and you take the combined score. If you get a 10+, you get a really lovely no complications victory. If you get a 7-9, you get a success, but there are some consequences or side issues. And if you get a 6 or below, you are so screwed!
So big numbers are good.
Big numbers good.
Good,
yeah.
Good big numbers should be good.
And, oh yeah, so you roll those and you add whatever your general skill is at that thing. And another nice big mechanic is that if you do something big or foolhardy or risky or splendacular, you can bet on yourself, essentially, by pushing the move. If that comes off and you succeed, you get a power dice and then you can, in the future, spend that to make your roll empowered, which is when you roll 3d6s and you take the 2 highest. But if you lose, then I get my own power dice.
Sounds like some kind of
or a break dice.
Risk reward system.
Yeah, it's almost like it incentivizes gambling, but it's bad. Gambling's bad. The house always wins. You will be destroyed. I think over the course of this relatively short campaign, the idea of me taking those break dice and just spending them when I think it's good, it doesn't really work because we're not going to kind of encounter things where I'm like, in this dungeon, everything is broken. So I'm just going to say on your next roll, it's broken. So basically you're going to be in a tight corner. You're going to bet on yourself desperately, hoping that you will get some power dice to get yourself out. And instead,
make it worse.
It will get worse.
Good.
Right. Maybe I should introduce the world.
It sounds like a plan. Yeah.
I don't know how this works, Alex. I don't know what to do with all this power. I should say to people actually listening, and this is something that I didn't tell Tom when I asked permission to use the game, that I've never GM'd a game before. And this is in my great tradition of trying things out that are scary in front of a big audience.
I mean, if you're going to GM, you may as well do it with time pressures,
yeah.
A watching audience, recording equipment, yeah. Editing problems.
And also,
like, yeah, very
the
impressed.
Only GMs I have ever had for the games I've played have been people that are incredibly experienced game designers, like Grant Howitt and Johnny and Ed Croft and Alex. So all of them have basically GM'd a million games and know their systems inside out. So I don't know how this works. But that's cool.
But see, this is where the wonders of editing come in.
Yeah.
Because I might even just... Laurie, can you do me a favour? Can you cut every single self-negging that maybe does so she comes out as both incredibly competent and kind of arrogant, but it's okay?
Well, no, I've never done this before. It's a literal objective fact. It's not negging.
You've got to remember that Alex makes massive mistakes all the time.
I have never made a mistake.
And we constantly edit them out, so he looks like a super competent GM.
I have never made a mistake.
So just trust that they're going to do the same for you.
I'm cross-talking, so I know it'll make it through the edit.
Right.
It'll
okay.
All be fine. Don't worry.
Yes, thank you. It's Helen. I'm so glad Helen is here. This was like one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
Well, I GM'd for the first time like fairly recently, and it was also powered by the Apocalypse game, and it went well.
Yay!
The only thing I would say is that, like, if you want to do voices for your NPCs, don't give them all the same voice, because I did that. It's a running joke now.
Fortunately, I can't do voices.
That is not true.
So I will just...
As long as they're guns or robots, you are fine.
Yeah.
Well, that. So what I've done instead of going for a cyberpunk dystopia, I have set this game in the city of Throne. Throne is an enormous interdimensional metropolis. It is a city of 800 million souls. It is built on a disc floating in an empty void lit by a dead sun. It is built primarily from the petrified corpses of several thousand dead demigods and from the wealth of a billion plundered worlds. It is the seat of power of the seven surviving demiurges, or kind of demigods, who between them rule the multiverse. The throne is built in concentric circles from the inner tower of Zos, the lost god king, through the centres of temples and palaces, the wider centres of industry and trade, and then the outer districts and the slums. It is filled with demons and angels. None of you have been allowed to be angels because the cosmology is too complicated. Demons and angels, humans, and half a dozen other races, the rootless, the kind people who have four sets of razor sharp teeth, the goblins. And if you're really terribly unlucky, there's all sorts of rare, horrible things like the Infinite Mother, who will pluck your soul from you and feed you to her babies.
Aww.
Yeah, you're adorable.
No! People are all so wrong.
Souls just get in the way.
So Throne is a hub from which the gates to all the other worlds in the universe open. Each of those is controlled by a powerful key, except for one of them, which is the recently unearthed King's key, which opens all the gates and all sorts of things. It's the universal key forged from the secret names of the creator god Yisun.
That sounds completely unproblematic, yep. With no consequences, yep, tied to it.
Forced from the tortured prime angel Metatron, and is now buried in the head of a sorority sister, Allison, who has recently inadvertently restarted the heavenly war.
This sounds like plot from the comic. Yep.
It is, but you don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know any of this, because Throne is a big place and that is happening elsewhere. So anyway, the seven, the demiurges, they are poor, disinterested rulers, and they are very much neglecting the city in the power vacuum. And gangs, guilds, and cults have arisen. It is very hard to tell them apart. Their methods of ruling or power gaining range from simple extortion to wild and rampant cruelty. Power shifts over millennia or at the point of a quick, sharp knife. You guys are all just rabble. Right. You have been struggling to make your way in this complicated world, and you have, at the invitation of a gilded demon, Alablithaquem, I decided to name difficultly because I hate stuff.
Ali.
No, you do not call her Ali. You are not shortening this name. You are terrified.
Why would I want to? It's so short already. Alablithaquem. It's barely. It's
yeah, that's because the short name is more powerful.
Quite.
Ooh.
Right. She is a gilded demon. She is several levels above you. She is ambitious, infinitely greedy, and runs a local chapter of the Polishers Guild, a swollen node in a trade network of miners and jewelers.
The Polishers Guild? I really like that.
Yep. You have ended up in a waiting room.
That's the best kind of room.
Yeah, it's a room that's waiting for you. You each arrived. The room doesn't have teeth. Damn it. Spoilers.
I listened to the door.
Yeah. You've ended up in a waiting room. It is richly decked out with lovely fabrics and pretty little chaise lounges. You all came in through a different door and were shown in through it by a huge guard. How did you get in? Did you get in through the sewers, from the Airbus, through some of the many open gates, which are guarded by enormous guards? How did you get in and who are you?
Okay. I think that I stealthed my way in.
You stealthed your way in, even though you got an invitation. I love it.
It's just lots of guards I guess.
Just all the guards being like, yep.
Me and my gang are assassins, so it's just what we do.
You snuck an entire gang in.
That's a good question. I was going to ask.
Yeah. You are always with your gang.
They're in the room, too.
Yeah.
Cool. So there are actually at least 12 people in this room.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're the only one who gets a seat. The rest of them had to stand.
Also, Lydia was very specific. Everyone came in by their own door, so there's at least 14 doors.
Yeah,
count as one person.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They march in single file when necessary.
Yeah, they do! Right, okay.
It was a rope thing.
I like it. Thank you. They were
nice and simple.
They're a chain gang? No.
No.
Okay,
no.
So you and your gang came in sneakily.
Yes.
Nice. Would you like to describe yourself?
Yes. My name is Executioner, and I am the head of a gang of mercenaries who are called the Family.
Ooh,
spooky. It was the most threatening word I could think
of. It was. We went for a lot of really violent words. Disembowel? No.
Eviscerate? No. Family? Yes. Terrifying.
Yep.
All of my gang members are named after the ways in which they like to kill people. I am called Executioner because I behead people.
Holds up, checks out.
Yep.
We are not particularly flamboyant and flashy, though. I did toy with the idea of us all being wrestlers.
And then we thought, no, we don't know enough about wrestling culture to do that justice. Yes. Literal truth.
Yes. So instead, we're just all very... Just sneaky-looking people, nondescript-looking people.
Right. Just all... Of the 12 of you, or 10, whatever. So there's no... Just...
Hard to be sure. Yeah. You start counting, you're like, and you get to the end, you're like, did I count that person before? Yeah. It's so similar to the first one.
Well, they
one.
Travel in single fires to hide the numbers.
We all have hoods, I should say that.
Adjectives so, just slide off them.
Yeah. Like... Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand the joke. Sorry.
It took me a while as well. Right, okay. So we've got a sneaky set of assassins.
Yep.
We should say that one of my favourite things about the boss character, which Helen is that it is a mechanical fact that the gang all love each other very much.
Yes, we absolutely do.
It's written into the system.
Like any good family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's pronounced family.
Right, okay, so you snuck in.
No, it's not a family, it's the Family.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. I forgot the term.
And what species are you and your team?
Oh, yeah, we're humans.
All of you humans. Lovely. Right.
Wrestler should be a species.
That's a hate crime, Alex. Right. Okay, who's next? Who is in this room? This lovely, nice room
you've
already destroyed with impossible physics.
Where did all these doors come from?
Sorry.
It's just
a room.
I got there first and claimed the biggest, comfiest chair. Because obviously the chairs are not... It's not like every chair is the same. That would be crazy.
No.
Every chair is different.
Yep.
And I found the biggest and comfiest one. And I'm lounging.
Lounging. Ooh. Is that your
is
name?
Is that your name?
Hi lounging. I'm Dad. That's Thank a good you. Demon name, yep.
My name is Jared. So demons have long, complex names. And I have a long, complex full name, which I will probably not attempt to pronounce at any point because I'm bound to get it
Do
wrong.
Do it once. Nope. Do it once. Make it canon.
I'm Jared.
Bryn has wanted to clarify that that is not spelt G-E-R-A-R-D or J-A-R-E-D. It is different.
Yeah.
Because we love spelling in jokes in this podcast family.
Whoa!
Hi, new fans!
Some people have high production values. We've got spelling-based jokes.
Woo.
Hey, I could have called my character Sasha. Let's all just be grateful I did that.
Ooh! No, Alex! No! Alex, who are you and how did you get here? Also introduce your character.
Funny you should say that. So, I'm Ilithan Kirian Deletrius Indi Cantorius.
Good demon name.
Good. It's a devil name, actually. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am a blue devil.
Ooh.
So I've got bright blue eyes, bright blue hair, and I am dressed in mostly rags, using a metal pole I claim is a walking stick because it's what I found. I got in because I was sleeping on the doorstep when people started sneaking over me, kicking me a bit. I woke up and followed them in because why not? Huh. Let's just say I got there very, very early. Far too early. Maybe.
I almost certainly kicked you on my way in.
I mean, presumably.
I'm a red devil and therefore superior to the blue devils. And I just, rather than stepping over you, I stepped on you on my way into the building.
There is, I should point out, like a lot of lore in this comic. And I absolutely love it. But you don't need to know it. Basically, I'm going to ruin this with just fanning all over the content, which will sound a lot like fanning over my own content, but it isn't.
I've learned very little of it, but one thing I do know is that as a red devil, I'm inherently superior to a blue devil.
Yes.
That's accurate.
What's devil for new money? Because that's that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, mate, I know. I'm gauche. Yeah. I'm wearing a silk shirt, but I've ripped the arms off to expose my guns.
I feel be wearing only some silk sleeves because that's what I found in a gutter somewhere.
And leather trousers. And just tons of jewellery.
Oh,
like, I've got earrings and I've got, like, a torque around one upper arm and, like, bracelets on the other and rings and a giant amulet because, obviously, I've got slightly too many buttons open.
Okay.
He's just compensating for his tiny horns.
They are really small and I'm quite sensitive about it.
Oh my god.
Oh, and I've got tattoos as well.
Oh, cool. Okay. Including
a head tattoo because I'm completely bald.
If this was a film, it sounds like I'd be very attracted to you.
As this is happening. Before you get interrupted, you all have bonds with each other.
Oh, yes.
And since you are the least awful of the people here, how do you know? Whatever the name of Alex's character
Illy
is.
Illy,
I like
Billy.
It. Billy, oh, okay.
It's pronounced Ilithankirian Deletrius in Decantorius, but sure, Billy. Yep.
Yes. I think my bond with you will be my gang and I have beat the out of you before.
Okay, I have to jump in. I literally just wrote, you have to finish the sentences for these bonds. I met Executioner on the road once, and we barely escaped from Execution.
Fantastic.
Good.
Right, okay, great. Loving the team.
Yes.
Okay, Bryn.
I've been impressed by the work of the family, and I've been keeping tabs on them for some time,
okay.
Unbeknownst to them, unless they've noticed me. I mean, it's not impossible, but I've just been watching them.
You do look very striking.
I've been watching them just taking note of their...
The connection, the tension that's building up here, we should always remember, is between a devil and 12 people.
This all sounds legit, checks out again.
Yeah, okay, and...
My knowledge of Billy is that Billy tried to stop my machinations in the past. I'm editing that sentence slightly, so yeah. the sentence says, blank tried to stop my machinations in the past. So obviously it's Billy, but I'm going to say Billy accidentally stopped my machinations in the past by being in the way, essentially. Right, yeah. It wasn't his intention, but he definitely stopped a machination.
Sounds about right.
By being inconvenient.
So you are the rubbish boss in Brooklyn Nine-Nine who keeps opening the door and tripping up drug dealers and being promoted.
Yeah. She called me boss. Wow.
I'm the boss.
Yes.
That's literally on my character sheet.
Yeah.
We all have different things.
There are character archetypes in Broken Worlds. They are, and I picked these for our players. Helen is the boss. Mm-hmm. The boss has a team who mechanically they love very much.
Yes.
Alex is the beggar.
Yes.
He gets more powerful as he gets drunker.
Yep. That's it.
Yep. So that gives him the powerful
just power.
Power of his
in general.
Of his character building.
Power.
Which we're all familiar with.
Yeah.
And Bryn is the overcomplicated magic user. So
I've
made them all really happy.
All is well.
Great. So you are...
So yeah, so after Billy accidentally got in the way of one of my nefarious schemes, I took him out drinking to work out who he was working for and how it happened. And I discovered rapidly that he did it completely by accident. So right. I know it was an accident, but I still kind of resent him for it.
Fair. Okay, so you have ended up in this waiting room. You did actually all get invitations, but it is possible that Billy lost his and then just ended up in here anyway because he seems to have some kind of magical luck.
I ate mine.
We'll see how far that takes him. A handmaiden opens an enormous door. One of the, as we have established, 20 or so doors.
Oh, don't make the things that we say canon. That will end so badly.
Handmaiden opens a door and she is lavishly bedecked in chains of precious metals. She invites you to follow her. She leads you through a series of halls. You pass through a hall that is on an upper floor. It is essentially a bridge, a balcony that overlooks a trading floor below. As you walk through, you see wealth plundered from 1,000 worlds, gems and precious metals.
I keep getting distracted by the shinies.
Yeah, they're flowing past in a thick current of trading. One misstep and a trader could be swept away. At one point, you think you hear a strangled cry, but I can repeat before a gurgle and a splash.
Weird, there's detail instead of you go along a path. I'm lost, I'm confused.
Don't worry, it will run out very soon. You run through a long hall, benches on either side, apprentices spending lifetimes mastering one part of larger, intricate designs, losing their sight and their sanity to the intricacies of metalwork. You enter a throne room. As you walk in, it seems to be crowded with golden figures, but all of them are in horribly distorted poses. Gradually, perhaps, you realise these are the enemies of Alblithoquim, who have all been executed under a stream of molten gold.
Ooh.
Alblithoquim is a gilded demon, second most powerful kind. She lies sprawled out over piles of cushions, long limbs, perhaps too many, and a very long neck, all stretched out with bands of precious metals. She's tended by more handmaidens who polish all the little bits so that she sparkles. Very lovely. She's being polished all over and fed whatever the cruel version of peeled grapes is, which are probably
peeled eyeballs.
The eyes of something really adorable. Like, really adorable. She has guards surrounding her. They are really big, but, you know, go wild. really big. We can end this quickly if you want.
You know what? Why don't we take a break to discuss just how big the guards are?
Like, huge.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello everyone, Mike here from Rusty Quill, or as some of you may know me, the voice of Tim from the Magnus Archives. I'm just taking a moment to invite you to join me and Rusty Quill on another 12-hour holiday gaming livestream in aid of Mind, the mental health charity. We'll be streaming video games and board games live via Twitch.tv, and this year we'll be doing it in front of a live studio audience. That's right, for one day only you can come and join us in person for the chaos. We're recording at the Theatre Deli's old library space in London on December 8th, 2018, between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. GMT, and tickets are available right now. So if you want to come and meet the Rusty Quill team and see all the exclusive off-camera goodness, be sure to visit rustyquill.ticketbud.com/RQGG18 and grab yourself a ticket. All proceeds go to charity, but don't hang around because there is limited availability. And for everyone who isn't able to make it in person, don't fret. You can still join us digitally. Just jump in online at www.twitch.tv/rusty_quill on December 8th, 2018, between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. GMT, and we'll be there playing games and encouraging you to donate money to this worthy cause. That's all for now. For more information, visit rustyquill.com or get the latest updates via our Twitter, @TheRustyQuill, or on Facebook, at facebook.com/TheRustyQuill.
And welcome back. Hooray, it's still me. Hey. Yeah.
Those guards are huge.
Yeah, huge.
Oh,
guys.
God,
so big.
That's really unnecessarily large NPCs. Yeah.
Like, literally and mechanically huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I should point out that the spikes on their weapons are not made of soft, precious metals.
They're far too large for this room.
Yeah, it's a big room. It is a really... Anyway, Alblithoquim stirs. She looks down. Ah! You've made it. All of you. I want a jewel. A precious and unique jewel. It is a job I think you may be suited to.
OK. carry on. This is character work.
That's going to be really fun for everyone to listen to later.
Don't edit that out, Lori. Leave that in.
I made a strong, bold character choice.
Al Blithaquim looks at you and a guard kicks you. Right, anyway, she continues. Within the Ring of Palaces, as you may or may not, don't know how stupid you are, as you may or may not know, there lie many ancient and degenerate royal orders. You do know this, or at least two of you do. I'll leave the listeners to guess which two.
Extremely knowledgeable.
palace complexes which house generations of inbred monarchs and their fawning courtiers. Some of them, you know, have the hold over minor guilds and command empires still, but others lost their lands many eons ago and are confined to their palaces, or they have fallen into corruption, or they are caught in petty rivalries that make very little sense to people outside them. Others have seemed to have been lost in their own complex rituals. Al Blithaquim continues. One of these has come to my attention. A small kingdom with a few high walls. The last vestige of a family whose power is so long forgotten the mountain that they are named for has long since sunk beneath the waves. For a few centuries now, a corrupt minor courtier has been sneaking out trinkets for me to sell in return for sating an unfortunate habit. But I have hints of more. They have told me of a great jewel, something which is the centerpiece of their crowning ritual. I don't know the details, but their new king is to be crowned. I want it found, and I want it here. Enough?
Do we get paid?
She reaches and gestures with a hand, and gems as big as your head, which you could swear weren't there before, just pour out onto a pile.
Yeah, right.
Of course, mistress.
Where can we...
My guards will escort you to the area. Of course, I can't send my own guards in, because to move so directly against a royal house would be indelicate, even one so minor. In fact, she reaches for something, if you could plant evidence of my rival, throws down a rag... covered in blood.
A rag, you say?
Several kinds of blood.
Ooh, I pick that up.
Yeah, with an insignia still vaguely visible. The blood.
Don't lose that.
So, yeah, all right. If you are discovered, you will plant evidence of this. You've never seen me before. Or rather, only at a distance. And only from a position of supplication.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Which rival shall we claim to have been working
for? The one
for?
That's...
The bloody
on
one, innit?
Insignia. You don't need to know who they are.
Very well, mistress.
Waggling a rag around.
Another Polisher's Guild member. An upstart. One who must be crushed. So, gang, how do you want to travel?
Sorry, do you mean gang or, yep, or Helen gang? Because those are distinct.
All of you. So I'm not going to go into the real details of it. You will follow... The guards will take you, but you can decide your particular route. Would you like to travel... Travelling will take ages, by the way, because Thrones is very crowded. It's got very bad public transport.
I mean, what's the poshest way
we can... say 800 million people. Yeah. That's going to be a strain on infrastructure.
It's pretty rammed and there's not great city planning. It does have a light rail system, but in order to... use that, you have to pay off mercenaries to clear the tracks of robber gangs.
Oh, fair.
I won't even make you roll for it. You succeed in getting to the place, but, you know, if you want to describe the journey...
Do we all have to travel together?
I mean, it's probably simplest.
It is probably simplest, but I like...
I will get lost if I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, but you'd probably then end up tripping over and being in the right
bar. That's exactly... Thank you. Thank you for getting my character down so neatly. I disappear. Where did you go? I don't know, but I'm drunk.
Yeah. Like they sit, oh, we managed to lose him along the way, sit down and he rolls out from underneath
Hello.
The table. Okay, that's canon, that happened.
Yes, it did.
Right.
Okay, so he took the light rail system.
You took the light rail system, it was great, you lost him along the way.
There was a dog.
We didn't have to pay the mercenary gangs, because my mercenary...
Yes, you are a mercenary gang, yes.
I'm enjoying you playing a gang.
Yes. Alex, it wasn't a dog, it was a rog, which is a mix of a crocodile and a dog, and has an enormous face full of teeth in every direction.
Oh,
you are a good boy. Good boy.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
Yep, he rolls out from underneath the table, covered in blood. But, you know, not mechanically, because you don't actually have that many hit points. Anyway, you are in a bar.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, I suppose I'm glad we didn't lose you since you've got the rag.
What I do in my spare time is none of your concern.
It is when we're on a job.
If only.
You are in a bar. It's quite a nice bar, actually. It's
I don't
fancy.
Like it.
Yeah. It is in the ruined ballroom of an old palace that was obviously destroyed at some point in one of the wars.
So we're in
past.
The right district now.
You are in the right district.
So how do the kingdoms work? Are they like tiny little...
They are tiny... Yeah, these are palaces.
Fiefdoms.
Yes, these are tiny palaces. Imagine them like embassies in a bigger city.
Sure.
They are big and complex in their own right. Eons ago, when the Seven were dividing up the multiverse, a lot of rulers of worlds were deposed, and we were given a palace in the centre of throne as a kind of, thanks, we took your planet! So they live there now.
Sure. Are they mostly, like, open to people? Are we going to be able to wander in? Are we going to have to sneak in?
Well, this is the thing. You are now... many of these things are very closed off. This seems to be a small area, folded into the back of a much larger and more famous thing. You possibly could have walked past it many times and not realised it was its own place. You are sitting in a fancy bar. It is open air because the top of the ballroom is mostly gone and is now beautiful, exquisite gold and covered in vines, and someone tries to serve you an expensive cocktail. From there, you realise that you have a vantage point of a great big door. Possibly because a coronation is soon to happen, there are trucks... or carts, really. Not like Paul Grant and his accidental truck. There are carts with goods rolling down the street and turning up at this big, elaborate, beautiful gate, which has a smaller gate open, and there are guards outside.
As soon as this coronation... like, is this looking like...
You might have to ask. Yeah.
I shall go and ask someone.
I proceed to drink the drinks.
Mm. Remember that you get a bonus if you beat someone in a drinking contest.
I know, but it feels very early to take out my other fellow players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are people that you could antagonise or even bet things on.
I mean, the thing is, Jared, a lot of people don't necessarily agree with me, but I swear that I am the Lost King's Oss. And one day... people will recognise me for
that is
it.
The highest blasphemy. Sure.
I am going to...
I'd slap you in the face, but reasonably gently.
I ignore those two.
Yeah.
It's devil business, you know, nothing to do with me.
Yeah, the devils do speak in their own weird chanting language, but it's... I'm not...
Ooey, ooh, uh-uh. That is... Ting-tang, walla-bing-bang.
That is actually quite similar to ours. I've read the comic enough times through that I can actually read it without the translations because I'm a nerd, but that's just... Oh. I love it so much. Anyway.
And I love you, Lydia.
Yeah. Ooh, let's talk about Marvel comics. Anyway.
Yes, so is there a bartender nearby?
There, somebody is coming over and is trying to pour you a very fancy drink. All 12 of you.
Oh my god, it's a huge pitcher.
Yeah.
Yes,
we have one straw, like we have a straw each and we're all like huddling around and gigantic stuff. Anyway.
If you tell them a story, you get a power dice, remember? Yes. They all have special skills.
Yes.
For the betting. So as well as wagering on yourself. Alex, if you beat someone in a drinking contest, gets a power dice. Helen, if she tells...
If I tell them an old story, a bad joke, or an anecdote, I get plus one boss, which means that I'm a better leader.
Yes. And I think you have some...
That's not the power dice power, though.
No, that's,
no,
just
I,
that's my...
I,
race
my,
power
my, power. My power dice move is Mantra of Cone the Greedy, which is when I spend a power die, I can roll a dice and either get to keep it after spending it, or give it to you as a...
Yeah.
A break.
It's double or nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even read Bryn's rules. I just saw that there was an overcomplicated magic ruler which allowed both close and distant attacks. And I was like, he'll figure it out.
You saw the word complicated and went, good.
Yep. Where's the magic user? So, yeah, what are you going to do?
So,
bartender is struggling under this huge pitcher. The bartender is a kind person, which is a sort of strange crocodile-looking thing with a face like the thing from Stranger Things, but they're generally quite gentle.
Aww.
He's holding them up. Oh, how does it... Trying to hold it with his toothy jaws. All four toothy fanged jaws.
Okay. Some members of my gang attempt like just take it from him before he spills it everywhere.
Frank, I don't want... I am really sorry, Abaddon. I'm really sorry this is now how your people talk. Frank, you.
Hello.
It's hard to talk when you've got four bits of your mouth. Oh.
Sorry, I just need to clarify that Lydia has just stuck
it's fine,
four
it's
fingers
film.
In her mouth.
I got...
Oh, it is on film!
Yeah.
Right, anyway.
I got quite complicated. Our situation going on.
So I see. Yeah. What's happening over there with that, that gate?
That's open for the first time in 20 years, that is.
Oh.
That's open. Yeah, I don't know why. But there's been a lot of people going through. Yeah.
How long?
Only the last day or two, yeah.
All right. Okay, must be quite early in preparation.
Yeah.
This all looks so helpful with a mouthful of ham.
Any news come the other way through the gate?
Oh, so the guards themselves, they don't really say anything. They're actually outside all the time. They've never spoken to anyone. The suppliers, right, they're saying that there's something coming in like a day or two. Something big. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's very mysterious. It's good for clientele, right? It's usually no one comes down this street, but yeah, now we've got you. Do you want some drinks?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I pat the kind person and sort of push them at the same time.
Their wobbly green hide, you know, shrugs. Wiggle under the pat.
So. Aww.
Like a kind of crocodile cat horse thing.
I say, whoever drinks the most pays the least.
That's not how it works.
Or it could be, because in a lot of ways, I would say that this is actually the best and most fair way, because that way only the worthy are not paying.
I slap you again.
You try and probably succeed, I'm going to be honest.
I'm not trying to do you any actual harm. I'm just to do it every so often to let you know that I disagree with you.
To let me know you care.
You can see...
I'm careful not to use any rings.
a cart comes down there, is coming down the street. You can see that there's a turning point a bit further up where they seem to all be coming from.
Right.
It comes down and they knock on the door and it sort of opens up.
Guys, I've got a plan. I got a plan.
Is it that we sneak into one of the carts?
Look, okay. I've never said this before, but I need you to just trust me. Right? Can you trust me?
Not at all.
It's the best plan.
I mean, tell us your plan, and then we'll see.
No time to explain. I proceed to sit there.
No.
Tell us.
Or else we'll leave you behind.
That's the door, right?
Yes.
Well done.
I try and just walk through the door.
You just walk up.
I literally just like, oh. I'm just going to try and walk through the door.
The guards move. Stand in front of you. They have masks on, which are complicated filigree. They look like kind of big birds.
Mate,
things.
Your mask and, is fabulous.
And they have massive shields, and they just fill the door with the shields.
I try and really, like, weakly push past a little bit. Just sort of, like, edge through, maybe.
Yeah, they don't react.
Why are your characters like this?
I come back. All right. I haven't so much failed as learnt a way that this isn't going to work.
I just facepalm.
I'm sorry, what have you two been doing? I just eliminated an option.
I've been coming up with a proper plan, which is we get one of those carts from around the corner...
And ram them!
No. We kill everyone inside, and we take their place, and we get inside that way.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks. Thank you. So, what do you do? You're going to...
Oi, cart!
No, not...
A man on the top of a cart with a lot of cabbages in, like, turns around to you and is just like, what?
My mates want to talk to you.
You want a cabbage?
No.
They're right in front of the gate. The guards can see it.
How many cabbages you got?
There's a cart full, yeah.
Oh, I'll have a cabbage.
All right, well, you pay me for the cabbage.
I'll race you for it.
Race me where? I've got a cart, though. I can't leave the cart.
I mean, well, then I guess I get the cabbage for free. You just lost. You just lost yourself a cabbage, my friend. I'll race you again.
Oh, okay. Throws you the cabbage. I consider myself outwitted.
Not here.
This is awful. You're just, the best plan.
Just eating a raw cabbage. They are poisonous uncooked, by the way.
Yeah. Good. Right. I would like to...
Maybe you'll throw up some of that liquor. Yeah. Oh no, he's sobering up! Ah!
My power! Yeah.
I'm going to send one of my gang members to go and scout out the cart that has the least number of people.
So there are complicated rules. Your gang members are incompetent, but they do love each other very much.
Yeah, they do.
So
I'm going to send them in pairs.
So you
sound less like a gang than Scooby and Co.
That is essentially, they are extensions of yourself. You have to make a roll if you're with Boss. Yes.
So they have to do dirty work.
Yep.
Which is the task where they must separate from me.
Yep.
So
I mean, you could just go, but I think we should use this rule.
Yeah.
Let's have them mess up. Yeah. Okay, what are we doing?
I'm going to send the throat opener to go.
So Helen canonically has like 10 to 15 gang members.
Yes, yeah, so I've had to go up with several names.
Yeah. All of them terrifying.
Double them up a couple of times, no harm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you sneak, we obviously don't have to describe this because, as you've said, they are aggressively nondescript.
Yes. So I'm
adjectives
going to...
slide off them like...
Yeah.
Like a slide?
Slides don't slide. They're slidden.
That's slidden. Not a word.
Slidden.
That is not a word.
I apologise, everyone. Okay, so you're gonna roll a dirty work. I think that's just you roll 2d6 and add boss.
Yes, it is, but my boss is zero, so it's just 2d6.
I love that you get to say the word boss so much.
Yes.
Oh,
you're so rubbish.
Uh-oh.
You're so rubbish.
Right.
On a miss.
What did you roll?
Yeah. Four. That's a really bad.
Yes.
Yeah, what is read me the rules for miss, Helen.
On a miss is a total scrub and your gang hilariously and maybe intentionally messes up the task you gave them. Either they get the wrong guy, defend the wrong location, break your favourite tea set or something similarly disastrous.
Yes, so what was it throat opener that you've sent?
Oh no, it was the throat opener that I sent.
You sent throat opener. What does throat opener do?
He slits people's throats.
Yeah, in this specific time.
I suspect that the throat opener misunderstood my instructions and just went and murdered an entire cart of people.
What, like, I mean, just a win.
I'm not subtly.
Not subtly. So your boss is now
minus one.
Is now minus one. Your gang are rowdy. Okay, so throat opener went off. All right, I've got to find a cut. Report back. Wanders into the crowd. Report back. Report. Looks at their knife. Report. Just starts spinning at neck height.
Classic throat opener.
He's got three.
Why has got the name?
Three heads roll before he's captured by the
my
guards.
Signature move as well.
Yeah. Oh. Don't worry. Other bits of bodies also get chopped off. Just the head's the most significant part. Throat opener is. Oh, should I tell you that the long and heartfelt backstories of all of the local people that he hurts? One of them is actually another part-time bartender at the very bar you're working at.
Oh no!
And so the kind person that you spoke to earlier is now going to have to work double shifts for the rest of the week. That is such a sport.
Does throat opener return back? How do we find out about this if it's out on the street, or are we just watching this?
You see blood running downhill down the street.
Oh,
not sure that was the best plan we've ever had.
If you need a job done, you've got to do it yourself, I guess.
Yep.
Right.
Quite literally in your case, yep.
So does the throat open? Does he come back?
No. You've lost a person.
What, completely?
Well,
Did he get arrested?
He gets arrested, yeah. Well, maybe you see him being taken away by the guards.
Yeah.
You could
also do a facepalm.
I start to stagger towards where the blood was coming from.
Oh, that's fairly.
I follow you at a distance.
I might then use my actual abilities instead of just getting in everyone's way.
Yay!
Ironically, my abilities involve getting in everyone's way, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
So I can pass unnoticed as a local in most situations, even if people are directly looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm among people, like the lesser folk,
It says small people,
yeah,
doesn't
which
it?
Feels weird as a phrase.
I mean, particularly when there are literally flavor. Small imps.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's like flavour things.
Yep.
I can do what I need to, like, what's the phrasing? I can get something from the lay of the land, but that includes the city, so urban scrumping. So I'm going to sort of wander off.
Urban scrumping for information and goods.
For food, booze, supplies, or just general help. Oh, and the word on the street.
Oh, right, yes.
So
okay.
I'm going to attempt my ways and means to urban scrump the now unattended cart.
Ah, yes.
And be like, oh.
Oh, yeah, so what, maybe someone jumps off the cart and. No!
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy!
And while this is happening, I'm just going to try and just grab the car and just sidle off
you
with the entire
days
car.
From retirement! Jimmy!
Sidle, sidle, sidle.
I'm going to have to get double guards on my cart now.
May I use my ways and means ability?
You may, but there are now, like, the guy has now instantly hired an extra guard for his cart. I can't give you a free cart because someone messed up. He's just hired a guard from someone walking around.
Yeah, me.
Oh, he's hired you. Okay. Well, let's roll for that. That sounds like an overcome roll rather than ways.
Oh, is it an overcome roll?
Yeah,
okay.
That's, basically, you're either fighting or... I apologise again. I've cut a lot of mechanics from this because we're not going to get injured. If you die, you die. so, yeah, basically, your things you can do are overcome and...
Then I'm...
So you're overcome and... Which is heat, I think, which is performance.
Yeah, I'll overcome with heat. That's a plus one.
Yeah, sure.
Can I push it?
Yes, you may.
Push it real good.
Push.
No, dear.
Six. Ah! Six, including my plus one heat.
Okay, yeah.
And I pushed it.
That's a lose, so I get a break dice.
Yep.
Woo! That means your next roll is broken.
Yep.
Because things couldn't really get worse, could they? Right, so you try to step up and be like, all right.
That's my cart.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, the guy's like, I need a guard, I need a guard.
I'm also a guard.
Somebody arrest this man! He's just admitted to a crime!
What?
Yep. Yep, so you've got some puzzled guards tromping over to you. There's so much blood.
I sigh.
Yep.
Is that all you do?
I'm going to activate my advanced move.
Ooh! What's that, Bruno?
With the name of which I absolutely adore. It's called Spin the Wheel and Laugh at God.
Yep.
I grasp the flame immortal with my terrible will and attempt to reverse the course of time itself.
Fancy.
Are we all aware of this, or is it just you?
I have no idea.
I would say you don't know.
Good.
It was a nice bit to add that in Kill 6 Billion Demons, magic is generally construed as the realisation that the universe is just a fabrication, and you lie at the universe so convincingly
that
your lie becomes reality.
It's kind of Douglas Adams here.
I literally reach into the empty air ahead of me and summon a flame and plunge my hand into it and then twist.
Yep.
I roll a 10.
Hey!
I completely erase the effects of something that just happened as if I had turned back to time itself. However,
yep.
There are always minor unforeseen consequences.
Right.
You turn things back slightly too far or the result is slightly warped in some way.
Right, okay, so... Oh, Jimmy! Jimmy! What do I do?
I grab you by the scruff of the neck and take you back to the table.
I had a plan.
That was not a good plan.
How do you know that wasn't a good plan?
I just saw what happened. Remember how I do magic?
Nope.
Yeah, so Jimmy! The person turns back to the cart. What? And now all of the eggs that were there are now chickens. There are chickens everywhere. Time has been twisted, and some of the chickens are really old.
I'll tell you
they
what.
Have lived good lives.
I'll tell you what, Jared, that was a good save. I could not be doing with that.
Feathers everywhere. These are Kill 6 Billion Demon Chickens, so they have teeth everywhere.
I didn't even notice they were chickens. I honestly thought they were eggs. That's crazy.
One of them is sitting on your head.
I'm not convinced that we're cut out for infiltration. Why don't I find out if there's a back entrance?
On your head. Literally is just...
I'm going to try and summon a shade.
It poops with nervousness on Billy's head.
Have another drink.
Yeah, all right.
Yes. And with that, summoning a shade sounds like something that maybe we should prepare for. Or even wait until next week to see.
Ooh. I don't know about you guys. I got pooped on.
I literally reversed time, you guys. You failed. I affected the entire universe by being amazing.
Nah.
Best game ever. Bye!
Squawk!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Going on about your really clever, intelligent game is really helping with the pressure of me coming up with one, Alex.
Greg,
thank you,
Greg,
for helping
Greg,
my creative Greg, process.
Gregor.
Do you want to come think about like
Greg? Exactly, Greg. Yeah.
How about something like Wham, Bam?
Thank you, Mam.
Yeah, she gets it.
What about Black Betty? Black Betty Bamalam.
Like, Bryn, I've got a name generator for you. I like Bozza Dog.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for The Programme Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.